So we're going to start. This first part is really quick, and I'm going to kind of buzz through it because I have some more to go. But the uniqueness of women, I want to give you five things how God created women to be unique. So the first one is a woman is God's idea. So that right there should be like, woohoo. Genesis 2:18, God said, it is not good for man to be alone. I will make a suitable helper for him. So it wasn't man that said, hey, I need somebody else to help me with all this. God created man. He said, okay, like take care of the garden, have at it. And then he was like, no, he needs a suitable helper. And so it was God's idea. He said, it's not good for him to be alone. So it is good that he created women. So I like that. So you're really special. So just know that you're special because he thought of you and he created you to be a complement to the man. So number two, the woman has a spirit in her, making her free and responsible, a free and responsible spirit being. You hear from God. You can worship God and love God and receive from the Lord. That makes you super unique and special. Okay? The female was taken out of man. Number three, something that has been taken from something else has the same components as from which it was derived. In Genesis 2:23, Adam said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. The female is what she is because she came out of man. The spirit man, because the man is spirit because man came out of God. This is so good. Therefore, humanity must stay connected to God in order to have a spiritual life. Make sense? In the same way, woman needs to be connected, stay connected to man to fulfill her purpose that God intended for her. I just thought that was really, really good. Number four, the woman is physically different. I think we can all agree with that one, right? I mean, these are things that we know, but I just want you to know that it makes us unique and it makes us special. There's a purpose in why he created that for us. Do you want to stop making fun of me? My son's making fun of me. 1 Peter 3:7 says, husbands, in the same way, be considerate as you live with your wives and treat them with respect, as the weaker partner and heirs with you of the gracious gift of life. Any women have a problem with that scripture? Husbands, in the same way, be considerate as you live with your wives and treat them with respect as the weaker partner and heirs with you of the gracious gift of life. 1 Peter 3:7. Some people don't like being called the weaker partner, okay? In that, he is not saying we're less than. It's translated as more delicate. And if you look at the way we're made physically, he took a little bit more intricacy in the women, I think, than he did the man. So we're more delicate in different ways. Emotionally, you know, we're more delicate. So it doesn't make us like, ooh, the weaker. In a bad putting down way. So when you read that, please don't think that because that's not what he intended. And we'll go over more on the physical part, why we were created and the purpose we have in the way he made women. Number five, the woman was placed in the garden. Genesis 3:8 says, God walked in the garden in the cool of the day in order to meet with Adam and Eve. The garden represents man's relationship with God. Okay, so it is a place of fellowship. And it's important that the woman stays in the garden in relationship with God to help fulfill her purpose. A female cannot become what God intended unless she is filled with Holy Spirit, submits to the word of God, and follows the leading of the Spirit. I feel like those all go together. You can't just be filled or just read your word. It's being filled, submitting to the word, and following what he tells you. I liked Briley, you know, going over this. I was like, oh, Briley covered this and Briley helped me with this. But I felt like even that, following what God tells you, sometimes it's not easy. Sometimes he tells you to go here, go there. And you're like, but it's important to stay there. So men, I want to speak to you for a minute. Because the woman was thought and made by God, she belongs to him. So be cautious in the way you treat her, because she was God's idea. So when you think about how you're responding to your wife or to another woman, a mother, a sister, I don't care who it is, she was God's idea. Whether she's acting like it or not, she was God's idea. And women, I hope you realize that you're valued and loved by God as his unique creation. And do you treat yourself with respect? Because you were God's idea. Do you treat yourself like you're God's idea? So just a couple things to ponder. Single, do you guys can, like men, value, are you valuing your mothers, your sisters, women you work with, women that are in your circle? Don't think this is just a married thing. No, the single men, you also have a responsibility in treating them with value and respect as well. So, all right. So, we're going to go on to the purpose in which God created female. So, there's three main points, which you have on your thing, which is the enhancer, the reflector, and the life giver. So purpose determines design and position. Women were placed in her position not because she is less important, but because of her function. So number one, the enhancer. In Genesis 2:8, the Lord said, "It is not good for man to be alone. I will make a suitable helper for him." So the first part under enhancer, the first attribute, characteristic, whatever you want to call it, is companion. A companion is somebody that accompanies, attends to, and guides. That I don't have really a lot of explanation because I feel like it's pretty straightforward. And that was A, I put under A. So B is to enable the man to accomplish the vision and purpose for which they were both created. Women are to share in the man's vision. We learned that last week, and that's why I gave those outlines of the man's purpose, power, and purpose, because I wanted you to have that written down, to share in the vision. Males, they have the purpose or the responsibilities of having the vision. So encourage along the way and help him to accomplish it. So I'm a baker. I don't know if you know that. But I love to bake. I consider myself a baker. And so I thought of this reference, which I thought was kind of funny. So just go with me. Everybody knows what a pie is, right? Yeah. What are two things mainly a pie is made up of? Crust and filling. Okay. If somebody gives you filling, would you consider it a pie? If somebody just gave you crust, would you consider it a pie? Okay. So the man and the woman, when she enables him to accomplish his vision and purpose, it becomes a pie, a whole. Without it, it's just not what it's intended to be. You can't call something a pie if it's not a pie. You can, but you're not going to get away with it. So each are equally responsible for that vision to come to fruition, okay? One way a woman can help the man fulfill his vision is to give him respect. Ephesians 5:33 says, "Each one of you must also love his wife as he loves himself, and the wife must respect her husband." The woman is meant to bless, support, and honor the man, and the man is meant to be a head, a covering, and protection. So all those were, when I'm talking about the man, Bob covered those last week as well. So it's important, men, that you have a vision. I'm going to say this like 10 times tonight, I think. Okay? Because I really want you to understand how important it is, if you think about the pie, to make it a pie. If the man doesn't have a vision, you just got filling. You know, there's no foundation there. So, men want to feel responsible or feel as though they have input in accomplishing their vision and as a leader. And when he doesn't, it kind of falls, when you make him feel insignificant, like, well, I could have done that, or I didn't need you to help me with that, or you know what I mean? If you make him feel insignificant, he's not going to want to do it. But if you make him feel like as the leader he's growing in to be and encourage him and bless him, he's going to in turn just be so willing to serve you. So not only are you fulfilling a purpose, but you're also getting benefits from that. So men feed on respect. That's their fuel. So if you think about it, if you want them to succeed, give them the fuel that they need, all right? Women, don't ever compare your spouse to another man. Don't do it. Everybody is so unique and different in every marriage. I mean, the leaders have talked and our marriages are so different, but yet very similar, just like male and female. They're so different, but then in a marriage, they can be so similar and different. So don't compare, because all that does is, normally when you compare, is one goes up and one goes down. It's not a, oh, yay, they're the same. You know, like, just don't do it. Support him, encourage him, learn and understand his nature. It sounds easy, but it's not. And I feel like it's a constant. I mean, we've been married 33 years, and I feel like I'm still trying to understand his nature. So may not be something that you're like, well, I'm never going to get there. No, but it's a continual pursuing and nurturing that and figuring that out. The eyes of the woman must always be looking into the needs of the man. Do you know what he needs? And don't guess. The next part that we're going to be covering is communication. Communicate. It's not bad to say, hey, how can I help? Or how can I be a part of this? How can I show you, how can I encourage you in this? Because if you feel like you're doing something and it's not being received, maybe there is a way and maybe he will communicate that to you. So there's nothing wrong in asking. So as an enhancer, the woman is a co-leader with the male to accomplish what they were both created to do. But you have to have the ingredients to produce something really wonderful. So men, I'm just going to highlight this again from last week. Remember, your vision is God's vision. And it's important for you to have a vision for yourself, a vision for your family, and all of those under your influence. Okay, the third attribute is helper. Women are designed with many qualities and abilities to equip us to be helpers. If a woman wants her own vision, this will cause division. Luke 11:17 says a house divided against itself will fall. And helpers don't take over, they assist. I want to share a story. I know I'm changing the roles here, but many of you probably know I coordinate weddings, and I've done it for probably 20 years. And I know what I need, I know what I'm doing, I know what things have to happen when and how they need to happen for everything to run perfectly smooth. I find that it's like a finely choreographed play that I'm working on, and all the working parts have to just be so right and in tune. But I found that I can't be on this side of the church and this side of the church and be in the front when everybody has questions. So I need help. So my husband has been a great helper for me. Even though I'm saying women are helper, I'm just giving the example of what a helper, a good helper is. He learned very quickly, I don't want his opinions. I don't want what he thinks and how he thinks it will go better, because he's naturally good like that. But he had to come in and know that, nope, I'm leading this part. This is my job. And I'm asking you to come alongside me and help. So helpers don't overtake. They don't want their own way. They're there to build up that person. So women, you're there to build up your husband to make the circumstance go well. Does that make sense? So the other thing is, be careful when helping, because men don't always like to have the women know that they need your help. Right, men? Most of the time they're like, no, I got this. So don't make them feel like, oh, you need my help. Or, hey, are you reading your Bible today? Did you read your Bible? Did you read your Bible? Hey, did you read your Bible? Did you read it yet? When are you going to read it? What is that? Nagging. So be careful, because being a helper, sometimes that can automatically, well, I'm helping them. No, you're not. You're not helping them. And what are they going to do? They're going to push away even more. And that's not what you want. So just be careful that the nagging doesn't spill out. Just have that aware. And I want to share a story on that. So I like stories. So about 7-8 years into our marriage, that's a fun time, because it's like, I don't know, it's kind of a hard time for some people. And we had two kids, and we were going to church, and he was working, and we had a house, and things were going great. But church was more like, we're going, we did our duty, we're good people, we're Christians, you know what I mean? And it was just doing the motions. And I had gone to this women's ministry conference, and I don't even remember what was spoken or anything, but I remember going in the conference room after everybody left and just crying out to God. And I was like, there's got to be more, because this is just, I don't even know why I'm here. There's got to be more. Well, I ended up having an encounter with God at that moment, and it just caused me to want to pursue him more and more and more and more. And so Sunday mornings weren't enough. I wanted to go. Sunday nights, I wanted to get as much as I could. I was reading my Bible more. I was praying. I wanted more. And sorry, as I was praying, the best thing is, well, I want my husband to come with me. He's the leader of the house, so I want him to go. Like, he should be leading this, you know? And God said, no, I want you to pursue me, and I'll take care of him. And I was like, all right. So started going on Sunday nights, which was great, because I would be like, hey, you got the kids? I'm going to go to church tonight. Oh, you are? Okay. And I was like, whoo. No kids. I didn't have to worry about anything. He was home with the kids. So I was like, I kind of like this. I just get to go after God. And a couple weeks passed, and all of a sudden he was like, well, can I go with? It's like, well, yeah, you can come with. But it was just funny, because as I started to change, he noticed the change in me, and God provoked him to want more. He didn't want to be left out in not receiving what God was doing in me. So even in that, we don't have to nag our husbands. The best thing we can do is pray and give it to God. Because if we're telling them what to do, they don't really want to hear that anyways. So, and men, you need to appreciate the women's role as helper. I know you may not like it or want it or think you need it, but this is who we were created to be. And we want to help. And the more I go into the other attributes of the purpose that we have to fulfill in marriage, you're going to see that you're going to want her to be a part of your vision and in helping you in more areas, because that's what we're made to do. Women, watch your words. They can destroy. Miles Monroe talks about, you know, if a guy loses his job, do not be like, oh my gosh, what's going to happen now? What are you going to do? Why aren't you out there getting a job now? And why aren't you doing this? They don't need that. First of all, their responsibility is to be the protector and the provider. Don't you think they feel bad anyways? So our job as a helper is to help guide them in whatever helps they need. How can I help you? Do you need me to update your resume for you? You know, or whatever it is, you know. Be that help and be careful. Remember, helpers don't tear down. They dust off and they lift up and they encourage. All right? So women, you have a great power that God's giving you to bless. So bless. When a man is trying to become and grow in his leadership role, it's not the time to ask him to take out the garbage. If he's reading his Bible and the garbage is overflowing, take it out or leave it. I mean, don't destroy what he's working on. If he's saying, hey, I'm going to go meet some guys for a Bible study, don't discourage it. Don't make him feel guilty for leaving. He's trying to build how he was created to be that leader. So let him do it. I know it's so hard sometimes because we're like, but the garbage. Or, well, I am always. I don't do garbage. From day one, I don't do garbage. Another example is Abraham and Sarah in Genesis 16. Don't take it upon yourself. Helping is not going, I have a better idea. God said he was going to give her a baby. She's like, well, I'm not having a baby. So here, I'm going to give you her. Have a baby with her. That's not what God wanted. So don't overtake thinking you're helping. Make sure that you're being submissive, being helpful, being an encourager, but don't take over. For years, I've heard, oh, the men just need to really step up in the church. There's not enough men at prayer. There's not enough men here. There's not enough men doing this. The women are always serving. You know, and I was part of those conversations. And then in doing this study, I was like, women, we have a responsibility. Were we living up to being a helper and encouraging and making sure that they had the ability to follow through and be the leader they're called to be? I know, ouch. I'm saying it to myself too. But I'm just saying, I was like, oh, this is good, God. We have that responsibility too to encourage men, single women. You can encourage the men in your life, either if you're dating or if you are have a sphere of friends, men and women. Don't make it awkward and give them the wrong impression, but you're there to help encourage them as well and help them to be better leaders. You can start utilizing that gift so that when you are married, it's just in you. You just know how to do it. Some men were not born with mothers that lifted them up and spoke into them and blessed them. They were torn down and they were, just not talked right to. So young men nowadays, they need that. And you have a responsibility in their life to be that helper and be that encourager. So you have that as well. All right. So number 4 or D, whatever we want to do. I don't even know what time it is. Okay. is adaptable to the man. Genesis 2:18. We've read this the whole time. Suitable. Another definition is to fit, adapted to an end or design, or submit. Women are designed for the purpose of adapting to the man's, to the man and his vision and purpose. We are really good at adapting, aren't we? Do you see it? let me see here. God said, I'm going to make a creation from man that will adapt to the nature of the source from which she comes. Whatever the man feeds her, she will become like that. Did you ever do that experiment with the celery and the dye in school? Where you take a cup of water and you put like red dye in it and you put a stalk of celery in it and you leave it overnight? What happens? Soaks it up and the leaves turn red or blue or green. So, guys, if you don't like how your wife is responding or looking, you might need to change the water of what you're feeding her. Are you feeding her? Are you blessing her? Are you in, you know what I mean? So I just thought that was a really good thing. She absorbs nutrients from him in that way, from the male, from the man. So, and it's hard for a woman to adapt to submitting to him as a leader if he's not leading and he doesn't have a vision. So again, I'm going to kind of really hammer down on that. This is why it's important for the men to provide the vision. A woman isn't less than her husband for God's purposes, but it's her purpose to submit, position to submit. I like this definition, so I want to read it. For the man to fulfill the role, she needs to submit to him. Submission is an act of the will, a choice. A woman should submit to a man, not because the man says so or society says so, but because of her purpose. In doing this, she enables her husband to be a leader. The definition he gives here of submission is the divine calling of a wife to honor and affirm her husband's leadership and help carry it through according to her gifts, acknowledging another person's authority in a matter. So I love what he's, I think he said this, but submission activates heaven. And last week when we were in breakout session, I had the question asked, well, there's never anything like big that you guys were on the opposite sides of. And I was like, actually, there was. There was a time my husband came home from work and said, oh, my position's being outsourced. And I have a decision, I think it was 3 months, I have a decision to make whether I'm going to try to find another job within my company or I'm going to go with this new company. And there was pluses and minuses to both. One of them was if he were to stay with the company, we would have had to physically move across the country. And we did entertain that idea. And that he had been there for over 25 years. So think about his 401k, his insurance, his everything, just a lot. And so we just were like, okay, we're going to really pray about this. And the other option was to go with this new company, but this new company had no 401k, no insurance benefits after he retires. I think he had less vacation time. It was just like all these little, paid a little bit more, but nothing worth, you know, that. So as we prayed and prayed and prayed about it, we really didn't talk a lot about it because we were both just like, we don't know what to do. And as the time got closer, I remember that weekend before, and I was like, so what are you going to do? And he was like, I think I'm supposed to go with the new company. And I believe I hear from God often, and I believe he hears from God. Well, I felt the total opposite. And I was like, oh my gosh, we've never been so on opposite pages. Now what? But he never asked me, what's God been telling you? And I just felt like, don't say it. don't say it. And I just like, I still get shook up because it's just like, God is so good and so faithful. And I didn't say anything and I just said, okay, because he is the leader of our home. And I believe he hears from God. And I started praying. I was like, okay, God, I trust you. I trust whatever, if he's wrong, you're going to make it good. If he's right, you're going to make it good. So I trust you. It's not about what the reality of the little intricacies of what we lost and what we gained. You know, I just said, I trust you. And so 2 years pass and we're doing our thing. And he calls me up and he said, I'm going back. They had a 2-year contract. This is not heard of. But they said, we're done. We don't want that part of your company anymore. He was restored everything. Like he never left his job. Neither one of us saw that coming. But God did. And I believe my submission activated heaven. So, sorry. See, Bri, you didn't even cry today. You left it all for me. It still gets me because I just see the wonderful, just faithfulness of God. You know what I mean? So don't ever question, women, if you should submit. Because God wants you. All right. Okay. Singles, I want to put this out there. If you are dating a man, women, sorry, single women, let's go there. Let me get this right. My tears are in the way. Okay. The first thing you need to ask him is, where are you going in life? If he can't answer the question, go tell him to find a map. If he doesn't have a vision, steer clear. You have a chance right now as you're single. If they don't have a vision, hold off. That says a lot, okay? What are you guys laughing at back there? What? What did they say?
It was just funny that you messed it up and then you said, go find yourself a man.
Oh. All right. Okay. Well, you know what I'm saying, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, and women, in their nature of adaptability, men, be careful. Because if you abuse that and you don't have the vision and you're abusing that responsibility, she will go find it somewhere else. She will find something worthy of spending her life on. So don't abuse her adaptability. It's very important. You should be careful and take sensitivity and consider it as a valuable aspect of your unity with woman or women. All right, so we're going to stop here. The first thing was the enhancer. Are you feeling like an enhancer? I feel like it's like a label of like superhero. I am the enhancer. Okay, are you feeling powerful as a woman? Awesome. Number two, we are a reflector. Women were created to receive love. The purpose of a female as a reflector is that she was made to be the object of the male's love and to reflect the love that he gives her. Ephesians 5:25 says, love your wife as Christ loves the church. When God made woman, he drew her out of man so that the man would have someone to love who was out of his own nature. Love brought about woman's existence. So man was created to be a giver of love and woman was created to be a receiver of love. Love is the fuel for a female. Women are designed to function on love. So I wanted to give you this little picture, men. Think of a car, okay? You put money into it, you lift it, you get your cool rims and you put money into it. And then you're like, oh, I don't have enough money and I'm out of gas. I'm just going to throw some water in that thing. And is that going to work? No. And what's going to happen? You're probably going to trash your car. So you would never think about putting anything else in it that wasn't intended to go in it. Right? So are you seeing the significance? Don't trash your wife. Yes, that's a good one. But she is created to receive love, and that's her fuel. If you fill her with anything else than love, you might break her. So we're going to look at 1 Corinthians 13:4 through 8, the love chapter. What is love? It is patient. Are you filling her with patience? Kindness. Does not envy, does not boast, not proud, not rude, not self-seeking, not easily angered, keeps no records of wrongs, does not delight in evil, but rejoices in truth, and always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. If you love her, she's going to run longer than any car you've had. I'm just saying. She's going to be the best thing you've ever had. All right? So, men, when you don't love a woman, you are abusing her very nature. Just like if you put water into a vehicle, you're abusing what it was made to do. Okay? If you love your wife, you're going to take care of so many problems. Really, we should all have that scripture probably hanging in our bathroom or in our bedroom or somewhere we can look at it all the time, because patience, kindness, and yes, women, we need to love as well. I'm not saying that we don't need to, but men, how are you to love? What does that look like? How do you love your wife? Generally, with words and gestures are accepted by women. But you must learn how your wife receives love. And we are going to get into like love languages and stuff like that. And that may help as well. But you know what? If you don't know, and even if you did the love language test and you're like, this isn't working, communication's really a good thing. Ask her. Do you feel like I'm loving you? Do you sense that I love you? What would make you feel that I, you know what I mean? Ask. Why is that so bad? Why do we just not ask? I don't know. Please ask. So men, because they think logically, sometimes can come off as cold. And Miles Monroe tells a story about it. Guys, this is kind of how guys tend to be. You know, they're at the wedding ceremony and I love you till death do us part. 3 months later, the wife's like, do you love me? I said I loved you when we got married. Do I need to say it again? And I've heard guys say that. I've said it. I mean it. It's just done. But women need to hear it often. They need to have the gestures and all that. So do it a little bit more and you won't be sorry. I promise. Ephesians 5:25 and 26 in the Amplified. Husbands, love your wives. Seek the highest good for her and surround her with a caring, unselfish love. Just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself up for her, so that he might sanctify the church, having cleansed her with the washing of water with the word. To sanctify means to take away from all else and set apart in a special place. Care for it and value it as a priceless gem. That's huge, isn't it? When a woman receives love, she will reflect it in her countenance. the way she looks at life, and the way she interacts with others. So men, even those that are not married, you encounter women pretty much every day, I would think. So you have that responsibility to show kindness to the women around you as well. Patience. That's all love. You know what I mean? Start showing that. Get used to it, because you're going to need it in marriage for sure. And have you ever noticed when you've been like at a grocery store or something and you just go, you know what? I really like your blouse, or you look so nice today, or your smile just made my day. And they just, oh, well, thank you. And maybe they weren't even smiling that much, but you know what I mean? Like, just showing like that kindness can really change a person. And if you've never seen it, you got to do it, because it's like, it's so fun just to see somebody's countenance totally change by just the words you use. So where am I? All right, so we're going to go to, as a reflector. So the purpose of the female as a reflector is that she is made to be the object of the male's love and reflect the love. Second one is to represent the nature of a male. She is to reflect the essence of all that God has created the man to be in his image. 1 Corinthians 11:7 says, woman is the glory of man, and the glory of something is in its The glory of something is its best expression of itself. There you go. Wrote it wrong. I love this. If you want to know what a man is like, don't look at the man as much as look at what the woman is reflecting. And that'll tell you a lot about the man. Interesting, right? Do you get that? So if you look at your wife, if she's a reflector of the love that you're giving her, I should see that all over her. So it tells me a lot about you by looking at her. I think that's really good. All right, so the woman's role as the reflector of the man's love and nature can powerfully reveal God's remarkable love for humanity. She can show her family, her community, and the world what it means to be loved by God, to bear the image of the Creator. So what, men, you're reflecting the image of God. You're reflecting that onto her, and she is able to reflect it to all those around her, which is so cool. Isn't it? Okay, number three, the woman as life giver. Life giver. So this is going to be, she conceives, she develops, she gives new life, and she incubates. Even Hebrew is shava, probably saying it wrong, but it means life giver. Pretty cool. The woman was given the ability to receive the seed of the male and to reproduce after their king. So awesome, right? So, the incubator, to maintain something under conditions favorable for development. This we find in our being physically, spiritually, emotionally, mentally, and instinctually. Women receive things into herself. She nurtures them until they're mature and then gives them back fully developed. We see that physically when she gives birth. When a woman becomes pregnant, she undergoes a complete transformation in her body. So here's a few things that happen. The lining of her womb thickens in order to create an environment for new life. Her hormone levels change to prevent miscarriage. Her brain chemistry alters. Nutrients, all her nutrients are directed to the baby first and then her. Her center of gravity switches so that she can keep her balance, and many other things. Isn't God awesome? So when you think of she receives and then she creates this nurturing environment and grows this thing and then gives life to it. It's so amazing. Whenever you give a woman something, she's going to multiply it. You give her sperm, she'll give you a baby. You give her a house, she'll give you a home. You give her groceries, and she'll make a meal for you. Do you see that in, like, that happens? You know what I mean? So think about it in the emotional, the mind, instinctually, and in the spirit. You give her something, you share your vision with her, what's going to happen? She's going to create an environment to sustain that vision. She's going to help multiply it, and she's going to help give life to it. Isn't that awesome? Don't you guys want to have a vision now? If you don't have one? It's just so cool how cool God is. So emotionally, if you're not giving her something good and you're giving her something negative, what's going to happen? She's going to multiply it, and she's going to nurture it, and she's going to give birth to it, and you're not going to like it. So you have a responsibility. Be careful what you're nourishing her with. Because that is our nature. It is our purpose to do that. Okay? Like, it's really important to be careful what you're feeding into her. Because it's going to come back and it might bite you. I don't know. So a woman has a nurturing instinct and can be a powerful source and encouragement in others' lives. So I just wanted to, even women, please understand, be careful what you're feeding into other women. It's not just the men, but women to women. Be careful how you're treating other women, because we tend to take it, nurture it, multiply it, so, and then deliver something. So that's all I have for this part. This was the short part.